We're going to be in the book of Proverbs tonight, so if you will open your Bibles there. Start off in Proverbs chapter 1. I don't think I can think of a more practical book of the Bible than the book of Proverbs, and for that reason, I think it's a lot of people's favorite book of the Bible. There's a treasure chest here of wisdom, if we will just open our minds and our hearts to see what the wisdom is that God would have us to have. So I'd like to begin tonight a series of studies through the book of Proverbs. We're going to go through primarily topically, just looking at the different ways that Proverbs instructs us in life and the lessons we can learn from the book of Proverbs. And I think one of the most important reasons that we need to study Proverbs is it because it helps us see that the fear of the Lord is something that should apply to every aspect of our lives. What I mean by that is sometimes we have a tendency to separate our religion from our life, and that's a very dangerous thing to do, and Proverbs helps us pull those things together. It teaches us that the fear of the Lord is not just something we plaster on the wall of our living room or just something we talk about at church, but rather the fear of the Lord is something that we should live in our lives, and that's a very important point to make, that serving God is about the nitty-gritty of the everyday affairs of life. And I think every book of the Bible is practical. I don't mean to imply that Proverbs is the only practical book of the Bible, but Proverbs really helps us see this serving of the Lord in the nitty-gritty of life. But the book of Proverbs is kind of like a power tool, where it's very dangerous if you mishandle it. But at the same time, if you know how to use it right, it is very powerful. Book of Proverbs gives us a lot of wisdom if we use it correctly. So tonight I'd like to just do an introduction of the book of Proverbs and become acquainted with the book as a whole, talk about its themes, talk about really the first seven verses here, which kind of lay out a plan for how we are to study the book of Proverbs and what it's all about. Proverbs, of course, is about God's wisdom. And so let's open our minds to understanding God's wisdom. When we think about Proverbs, a lot of times we tend to think of it as a very loosely connected collection of random sayings, just scattered sayings throughout the book of Proverbs. But there's actually some structure to it, not necessarily verse by verse, but kind of as a whole. The first nine chapters are not just a random collection of sayings, but rather it's an introduction that focuses primarily on one thing, and that's encouraging us, exhorting us to listen to and seek God's wisdom. There are some practical things about finances and lust and that sort of thing in the first nine chapters, but really it's just about encouraging us to focus on wisdom and encouraging us to seek God's wisdom. And if we forget this first part of Proverbs and we just kind of skip to the random scattered Proverbs, then we're going to misunderstand the book. The first nine chapters establish the point that wisdom comes from God. And that's really what we're going to be talking about tonight. So we can't fully appreciate and understand the rest of the book without first understanding that wisdom comes from God. So the first nine chapters really prepare our hearts to receive the wisdom that comes after that. This next, the biggest group of chapters, chapters 10 through 29, are a collection of Solomon's wisdom, Solomon's sayings that were either compiled by Solomon himself or compiled by someone else. Now, you remember that Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived at his time. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, we're told that because of his faith in God, God appeared to him in a dream and told him, "Ask for me anything you want." And Solomon decided to ask for wisdom. He was a young man whenever he began to reign, and so he needed wisdom. He needed something to guide him in his judgments of the nation. And so God said to him, "I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you even more than that. I'm going to give you riches, long life, prosperity." And so he does. But because of God, Solomon had wisdom. And this book is a result of that. We can't assume that the book of Proverbs is just man's wisdom, as if Solomon was just brilliant of his own accord. Solomon got these things from God, and that's one thing we need to understand and appreciate. The book of Proverbs is a result, partially, of God answering his prayer for wisdom and discernment. The last couple of chapters are collections of two other people's writings, wisdoms. Agur, chapter 30, and chapter 31 is about King Lemuel's, or what his mother taught King Lemuel. We don't know anything really about these other two guys, except that their wisdom lives on in the book of Proverbs. They have a lot to say about contentment, about greed, and especially about the godly women, the godly woman in Proverbs chapter 31. And what this book of Proverbs is really all about is that wisdom is something that we all need. The book of Proverbs has something to give each one of us. Solomon and King Lemuel were kings, and they certainly needed wisdom in their discernment and their judgment and their leadership, but they gave us these Proverbs through God's inspiration for our learning. So the Proverbs were written for people like Supreme Court judges, yes. Everyone in a leadership position needs wisdom, but they were written also for fathers, for wives, for common workers, for people who live everyday lives, people who deal with money and how we save our money and use our money. They're for friends and teaching us how to comfort one another and be wise with our words. So the book of Proverbs is extremely practical in guiding us through life. And really the point of Proverbs is to give us wisdom. The purpose of this book is really established in the first six verses that were read for us. Let's read them again. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. So we don't have to scratch our heads and wonder what this book is about. Clearly laid out here, this book is written to give us wisdom. That's really the key to the book of Proverbs, is this idea of wisdom. Now when you and I think of wisdom, we might think of knowledge as being a part of wisdom, and it is. The book of Proverbs gives us a lot of knowledge, but wisdom is not limited to just what we have stored in our heads. Wisdom is about how we use that in our lives. The Hebrew idea behind this idea of wisdom is it's more than knowledge, but knowledge that's applied usefully to life. It's not measured in IQ. Someone can have an extremely low high IQ, but be extremely wise at the same time if they use the wisdom that God gives them practically in their life. This is the ability to navigate life in a prudent way, making right choices. When we face circumstances in life, wisdom is the ability to navigate those circumstances to help us make those wise choices. In Exodus chapter 28, the same word that's translated in Proverbs being wisdom, the same word is used describing the people who were given charge of building the tabernacle. In verse 3, it describes those who have skillful abilities in maybe building, craftsmen, and carpenters, and those who did the weaving, and those who made the Ark of the Covenant, and all the other pieces of furniture. The Bible uses this word wise to describe them. And the point is that in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is the skill not of building a box or building a building, but of building a good life. That's what Proverbs is about. It's about building a good life, being skillful in life. And so in this verse 2, we see several synonyms that describe wisdom. Have really the same idea. You see the words instruction, understanding, prudence, knowledge, and discretion throughout the book of Proverbs and throughout this introduction here. All of these words combine to convey this idea of using knowledge well in order to live a godly life. And so what you do is you understand what the Solomon writers is telling us, the Proverb writers telling us, And we have to apply that to life. And the result of that in verse 3 is that we have wise behavior and that we have righteousness and justice and equity and fairness and integrity. This is wisdom in action, if you will. Think about how the world would be different if we lived by these things. If we lived consistently by righteousness and wise behavior. If we lived consistently with justice and fairness. Think about how our personal lives would be different. Think about how our families might be different. Think about how our churches might be different. Excuse me. Think about how our community might be different. And think about how our nation might be different if we would just apply the wisdom that we have in the book of Proverbs, if we would just simply choose this path for ourselves. Interestingly, verses 4 and 5 tell us who this wisdom is for. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge, and discretion. So the young people are kind of primarily in view in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs was written really with young people in mind, especially young men. We're going to see later on how Solomon speaks about his son. He encourages his son to listen carefully to his instructions. Young men need to pay attention to the book of Proverbs because there is much to learn here. Although it applies to really any young person, whether it's a young man or a young woman. The reason the younger in view here is because they need direction in life. As you prepare to leave your parents' home, or you prepare to go out into a world and you strike out on your own, you have to make some decisions about life and the things that are most important to you. And those decisions many times are very tough. And sometimes they have a lot of consequences that come from those decisions, right and wrong. And so Proverbs encourages us to think about those decisions before we make them, and encourages us to use wisdom to navigate those choices and circumstances that we're going to face in life. But the book of Proverbs is not just for young people. In verse 5, it says, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning. Even those that maybe already have a lot of wisdom can increase in learning." Those that are old also can learn something from the book of Proverbs. The point is that regardless of where you are in life, the book of Proverbs is written for you. It's written for me. There's something that we can take from this. No one is too wise that they cannot learn something or grow in their understanding of wisdom and their application of wisdom. So all of us need to look at the book of Proverbs as a book that will help us grow in our understanding of what God would have us do in life. Now, verse 7, if you take notes in your Bible, if you underline things in your Bible, I encourage you to do that with verse 7. Because verse 7 is really the key thought of the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the heart of Proverbs. It's the heartbeat, the breath of the book of Proverbs. And this idea is repeated in chapter 9 at the end of the section that is the introduction. Chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What this tells us is that if we were going to have wisdom, it's not going to come from somewhere outside. It's not going to come from somewhere, some secular source, but it's going to come ultimately from the Holy One, the Wise One Himself. It's going to come from God. And that's what we need to understand about the book of Proverbs. We're going to talk more about this in a minute. Is that Proverbs is not just a secular book of wisdom. It didn't just come from a person's mind, but it came from God's mind. And it's about how to live a godly life in the fear of the Lord, because that is the beginning of this life of skillfulness and wisdom. A couple things to notice from this verse here. First of all, this idea of fear. When we read fear, we think of terror. We think of being frightened by something. That's not really the idea here. Although in God's presence, if you and I were to see His presence, we would indeed be frightened. But the idea here is of reverence, this proper submission to God, that we listen to Him because we respect Him for who He is. That's the idea of fear. We have respect for Him. We let Him define right and wrong. We like to come up with a lot of ideas about what is right and what is wrong, But Proverbs is going to tell us we can't do that. You know, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death, one of the Proverbs is. And so we can't make our own path. We can't cut our own trail in this journey of life. We have to look at God and follow His wisdom because He's really the only one that knows the right way. We have to let Him define right and wrong. We are very foolish, which is the contrasting idea to wisdom in the book of Proverbs. We are very foolish to think we can make our own path through life. So we have to listen to God's way. That's what it means to fear the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, he says. When it highlights the fear of the Lord, it's very specific in focusing on God, the Creator, as the source of wisdom. You can find wisdom anywhere. You can pick up a book at the bookstore. You can look at different religions, different philosophies. You can pick up a book written by a psychologist, and there's going to be a lot of wisdom written in that book. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true wisdom, and that's really the distinction we need to understand here. Only God can provide the ultimate true wisdom that you and I need to have eternal life and really to have a good life here in this life. The reason for that is because God is the Creator. He made this world, and He made you and me. He made marriage. He made the church. He made family relationships. He made friendship relationships. All of that comes back to God being the Creator. And so therefore, only God can govern those relationships. Only God can tell us this is the way life is and this is the way life works. So look at Proverbs chapter 3 in verses 19 and 20 and notice how wisdom is a part of creation. It says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew." God created this world using His wisdom. And if we want to live in God's world wisely and fruitfully and productively, we're going to have to look to the one who made this world. And so the fear of the Lord is the ultimate source of wisdom because He, of course, is the Creator. Now, please don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying that it's wrong to pick up a book from the bookstore written by just anyone and find wisdom in there. But we have to make a distinction between God's wisdom and man's wisdom. And that's where Proverbs comes in. Proverbs gives us God's wisdom. Sometimes Proverbs is actually quoted in some of those books. You may have seen Proverbs quoted by politicians or by financial planners or by relationship advice people or self-help books or business people who talk about business ethics. And it's interesting to me that people will recognize and regard the wisdom of Proverbs, but sometimes not recognize the one who gave that wisdom and not recognize that God is the ultimate source of that wisdom. The point is that when we read Proverbs, it's not a book of secular wisdom, but rather it's a book of God's wisdom. It points us ultimately to Him. So we can't read the book of Proverbs like we would read maybe Benjamin Franklin's quotes. Benjamin Franklin is known for his many aphorisms. He published a periodical, Poor Richard's Almanac, for several years, and a lot of his quotes have kind of come into our language today. Cleanliness is next to godliness. I think that's attributed to Ben Franklin. And sometimes we think that's a good proverb. Well, it certainly is, only it's not really found in the Bible. Sometimes we assume it is. We can't read the book of Proverbs like it's something written by Ben Franklin. We need to understand that it's written by God. True wisdom doesn't come from being educated, doesn't come from being prosperous, it doesn't come from being successful in business, but true wisdom comes from submitting and listening to God. And that's what the book of Proverbs tells us, that the fear of the Lord is what's going to make us a wise person. If we want to be wise, we listen to Him, we submit to His instruction in every area of life. Now go back to verse 7 for just a minute And the second half of that verse is interesting. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's the theme of Proverbs. But then he goes on to say that fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you have the theme of Proverbs, but you also then have the warning that Proverbs gives us. Proverbs gives us a lot of positive exhortation, a lot of positive instruction, but it also gives us the warning that if we do not listen to what God says, if we do not choose the fear of the Lord, then we're going to choose a very foolish way. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now let me ask you this. Have you ever met a person that did not want to be wise? Have you ever met a person that, you know, did not like the idea of being wise? I think all of us want to be wise. We look to experts who are experts in their field of study, and we kind of celebrate them, and we look to them, we look up to them, almost idolize them sometimes. And we ourselves want to live in wisdom. We want a wise life. And so what is this passage saying to us? You know, what kind of person would despise wisdom? Well, there's two things that would lead someone to despise wisdom and not choose the path of wisdom. The first reason is that God's wisdom is sometimes counterintuitive to the way we think. Sometimes the way that God says is the right and the wise way is not the path that you might choose or the path that I might choose. And it's certainly not the path that the world is going to choose and call wise. And so that's why a lot of people are going to look at the book of Proverbs or just the fear of the Lord in general and say, nah, not for me, even though it would otherwise make them wise. For example, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say warning us against immorality. And chapter 6, verse 24, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress, do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. The book of Proverbs warns us very strongly against sexual immorality. And it tells us that if you choose that path, you're going to destroy yourself. But think about how the world views that. The world views this as, well, there really are no consequences to this. Choose your own path. Do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you think is right. And so this is where we see the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. This is the reason why many do not choose God's wisdom, because it doesn't make sense to them. It doesn't feel right to them. But we're going to be foolish if we choose to elevate what we think over what God actually says. So when something doesn't necessarily make sense to us, we need to listen to God and His wisdom. So that's the first reason why people might choose the foolish way instead of God's way. The second reason is because God's wisdom sometimes brings about discipline and chastisement on us. God's discipline is sometimes hard. It's sometimes painful for us. And sometimes that's the only way we can learn the wisdom that God would have us to learn. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, beginning. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And I think this specific verse here, verse 5, kind of summarizes what we were just talking about. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." You try to lean on your own understanding, you will be the fool in the book of Proverbs. "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." The Lord is going to chasten us and discipline us through the words of Proverbs. He's going to chasten us sometimes in life through our experiences. So the point is that wisdom is not something that comes naturally to us. So wisdom isn't something that we just, you know, get by osmosis, but rather it's something sometimes the Lord has to discipline us toward. God's wisdom can be learned through a friend's painful rebuke. Or it can be learned from a parent's spanking. It can be learned from the natural consequences of our sinful, wicked choices. And the wise person is not going to buck against those. The wise person is going to listen to those instructions, listen to those reproofs, and submit to God's way. In fact, this is what's going to make the difference between the foolish person and the wise person. The question is, which are we going to choose? Are we going to choose our way, which seems right to us, choose the way that makes sense to us, or the way that makes us feel good, the way that kind of strokes our ego, or are we going to choose God's way and listen to Him? Let's choose the fear of the Lord. Let's not despise wisdom and instruction, but let's choose the fear of the Lord, because that is the beginning of wisdom. And finally tonight, I'd just like to offer a couple suggestions on how to read the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a little bit different from the other books of the Bible in a couple of ways. The first thing about how to read Proverbs is that Proverbs is a book of principles, not of promises. Another way to say that is that Proverbs contains general truths, not absolute rules. Now, that does not mean that Proverbs does not apply, or that it's not inspired, or that it's not important. Please don't misunderstand. But the point is that these are principles that need to be applied in life, not promises, not absolutes. For example, the basic message of Proverbs is that if you act wisely, if you choose God's way over your way, or over the sinner's way, then your life's going to be good. You're going to prosper. You're going to be fruitful. You're going to be productive in life. You're going to have a pleasant, comfortable life. That's the basic message of Proverbs. But how often is that not true? I can think of at least one example in the Bible where that was not true. Job. Job lived wisely. The book of Job calls Job a blameless man who lived in the integrity of his heart. He chose God's way over his way. But what did he get out of it? He didn't get a comfortable life, but he got suffering. He got pain. He got agony. He got sickness. He lost his family, his children. He lost his wealth and his possessions. And his wife turned against him and said, "Curse God and die." And so the book of Proverbs gives us the general principles of life, but Job and Ecclesiastes help balance that perspective. The book of Proverbs, I like to think of it as kind of the rule, if you will, and Job and especially Ecclesiastes, the exception to the rule. Because sometimes life doesn't always go well for those that are wise. Sometimes life goes sour for those who live a good, wise, godly life. And the book of Ecclesiastes helps us to deal with those exceptions and to understand that that's sometimes just the way life is. Ecclesiastes says that the race is not to the swift. Proverbs would say, run fast and you will win the race. And so these are general principles, not absolute promises that are always true. For example, one specific proverb that we might think about, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, as a general principle, that's true. But there are multiple examples, not only in Scripture, but in life, and maybe you can think of a few, where this was not true. That the parents did everything that they could to train their children in the Lord and give him good direction, and somewhere along that child's life, they chose not to go down that path. There are exceptions to this, but at the same time, there are examples, multiple examples, both in Scripture and in real life, to show that this principle is generally true. That if you train your child in the way that he should go, you give him a good beginning early on in life, then you develop his heart and help him develop this conscience that submissive to God and acknowledges Jesus, that he's going to go back to that later on in his life. Again, this is a general principle that isn't always absolutely true, but it's helping us guide us along the path of parenting. Another example of this is Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. And this was interesting because these two verses seem to almost contradict each other. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you also will be like him. But verse 5 says, answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes. Now, someone who looks at the Bible with kind of a critical, unbelieving eye would say, well, that's just ridiculous. The Bible contradicts itself. Not at all. Because again, the book of Proverbs is about general principles, and sometimes the first principle in verse 4 is applicable, but sometimes the principle in verse 5 is applicable, depending on the situation. Again, principles deal with the variety of circumstances that we have, that we face in life. These two verses, side by side, illustrate that sometimes life is complicated. We find ourselves in difficult situations. We've got to navigate how to deal with these difficult situations. Verse 4 tells us that sometimes the wisest thing to do is not try to reason with a fool. You ever tried to do that before, where you try to reason with someone who just does not want to listen to reason? They just want to say whatever they want to believe? Well, this verse would apply in that situation, where don't try to even go down that road with them, because you're going to end up looking just as foolish as they are. But verse 5 tells us that sometimes you need not be silent, but rather the most prudent thing to do is to speak up and to expose foolishness, so that it's not repeated, so that it doesn't lead other people astray. The point is that Proverbs gives us general principles to help us navigate those tough situations in life. Life, again, is complicated, and Proverbs helps us navigate those complicated situations. So read Proverbs with that in mind, that this is a book of general principles that will guide us toward a good life, but again, aren't always necessarily promises. But the second thing that I'd like to say, and by the way, this second point applies to every book of the Bible, but especially Proverbs, that it's a book that's meant to be applied to life. Look at Proverbs chapter 26, verses 7 and 9. It says, like the legs which are useless to the lame, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. In verse 9, like a thorn which falls into the hand of a drunkard, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. The point of those two proverbs is it does you no good to just quote a proverb if you're not going to actually apply it to yourself. Proverbs quoted by a fool is just as useless as a person in a wheelchair trying to teach ballet lessons. It's not going to work. It's just as useless as a drunk man trying to dig out a thorn from his hand. It's just as useless as that. And so we have to think about the Proverbs and what they say to us in life. When you read Proverbs, ask yourself some tough questions. Am I in a situation in life where this applies to me? Or have I been in a situation where I could have done better? I could have used my words in a more tactful way. I could have made a better choice with my family. I could have made a better choice about who to spend time with and the kind of people that I spend time around. Think about how it applies to your situation in your life. Again, this is something we need to be asking ourselves no matter what we're reading in the Bible, but especially in the book of Proverbs. So think of it this way, that a fool can memorize a proverb, but only a wise man is going to use it to his own good. So it's good for us to memorize Proverbs, certain ones that we like or certain ones that stand out to us or maybe more practical to us. But again, it does us no good just to memorize them. We have to use them in our life, in this given moment. So to summarize all of this tonight, there's one thing that I would like us to take away from this lesson. It is this point. That Proverbs doesn't just show us how to live a good life. It shows us how to live a God-fearing life. Sometimes we might tend to focus on the first part, but it's really the second part, the God-fearing life, that will lead to the first part. If we choose a God-fearing life, we have the fear of the Lord and we cultivate that in our lives and in our family, then we're going to enjoy life better. Then we are going to have a more comfortable, more prosperous life. Again, that's not a definite promise. Think about the many people in the Bible who suffered even though they were godly people. But we need wisdom to help us navigate this life ahead of us. And so, reading Proverbs is going to do one of two things for us. Number one, it's going to either make us more wise, which it was intended to do, but it can also make us more foolish if you think about it. Studying the book of Proverbs can make us more foolish if we reject it, if we ignore it, if we choose to not listen to its warnings and instructions. So I hope that we will choose the fear of the Lord as we go through the book of Proverbs, if we heed its instructions. And we're going to sing a song in just a minute to encourage you to choose the path of wisdom. The path of wisdom for us today, for you today, is to choose godliness and choose to follow Christ. If you have not done that, we encourage you to think about the consequence of not doing that. But also think about the blessings that will come because of doing that. If you need to respond to the gospel invitation, we stand ready to help you in any way, to encourage you, to pray with you. Please make that known. Come to the front and we stand and sing to encourage you through this song.